Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word, means family. We're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man, getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. Well, my guest, Kenan Bridges, is red hot for the Messiah, but it sure didn't start out that way. He gets married, and he's on his honeymoon, and he gets home. He loses his job. He has to move in with another family, and things didn't get better, did they, Kenan?
No, they actually got worse, unfortunately, and as I mentioned before, my life began to take a turn for the worse, and we ended up losing our car, losing the house, and we there was a gentleman that owned the complex in our congregation at the time that we were attending. He invited us to come stay. The apartment didn't even have any doors in any of the rooms. It was a little small two-bedroom apartment, and it was just a very challenging time. The turnaround for me, however, was an encounter I had with God, where I'm literally walking outside. I'm just kind of frustrated, talking to the Lord, and it's almost like everything faded away. There was just silence. All the cars passing by, all the birds chirping, it literally became a silent moment, and it was like I heard the audible voice of the Lord, and he said, "I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future, plans of good and not of evil." And he was literally speaking Jeremiah 29:11, and that word resonated in my spirit. And I tell people often, whenever God speaks to you, you can bet your bottom dollar there's going to come two things. Number one, there's going to come a divine instruction that you must follow. And number two, there's going to come opposition. And what the Lord began to tell us to do is to sow into his kingdom. In fact, one of the scriptures during that time in my life that really became real was 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where God says he gives seed to the sower. He says, if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. But the blessing is, 2 Corinthians 9:8, that it says God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Now, in the Greek translation, or even the Amplified, it says that you might receive all favor and earthly blessing, having no need of aid or support. And I just didn't believe that, honestly, Sid. I'm thinking, well, we're not working. I had a little small business at the time, but it wasn't generating any income. Here my wife is, and actually found out recently that she was pregnant, and it was so bad. Sometimes we would just... One funny story, we actually snuck into our church's pantry to try to eat dinner. And it was just a bad situation. And so God now, in the midst of all this lack, where poverty, which I didn't know it was a spirit of poverty attacking us at the time, all this stuff is going on in our lives, and God begins to tell us to sow. Now, I'm thinking, the first thought that comes to my mind is, well, no, maybe that instruction was for someone else. I think I mistakenly caught a wrong radio signal or something. Maybe he meant that for the person down the street. And God says, no, I want you to sow. So all of a sudden, we start sowing even what we didn't even believe we had. It started with a single mother in our church. And the Lord says, I want you to give everything you have to this lady. And I'm thinking, God, but we don't even have gas money to get home. I mean, how are we going to give her everything? God says, I want you to sow. And I didn't know at that time, Sid, that what God was trying to do was he was trying to make us a blessing, not just give us a blessing. You know, God told Abraham, I will make you a blessing. And so the blessing of Abraham was trying to get to us so that we could become a blessing. And so we begin to sow, and the most amazing things started to happen. A chain reaction started to happen in the spiritual realm first, and then in the natural. People started to come up to us, and say, listen, the Lord told me to give you this. Even our landlord that we had just moved in with He said, the Lord told me to give you $200. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know a landlord in town that gives you money. I know plenty that will take it. And so he gives us money, and he says, don't worry about the rent this month, and he gives us money, and people started to come up to us and give us things. Someone gave us a car. Someone began to bless us. I mean, all over the place, someone would call us and say, I'm giving you $2,000. And it just began to go on and on and on. In fact, during that time, my wife was trying to get an internship at the school she was attending. She goes to the school, and when she meets the coordinator for the program, the coordinator says, you know what, I was just thinking about you. I was trying to get in contact with you. Look, I want to tell you about something that happened. We just got a grant for hundreds of thousands of dollars, and we want to hire you guys as contractors. Here's a $5,000 contract. And she says to my wife, she says, now, what were you going to ask me again? My wife says, nothing. And so this thing began to just overflow into our lives, one blessing after another. And another thing that happened during that season that was amazing was all the money that we had, Sid, God literally began to multiply it. My wife would go to the grocery store with $20, and she would come back with $150 worth of groceries. And I would say, well, where did you get these from? Did somebody give these to you? Did you have a coupon? She says, no, I don't know. Now, my wife was an accountant by trade, and she couldn't account for all the things that were happening in our life. And that's just a taste of what can happen when you get the revelation of God's favor in your life.
Tell me just a little bit, because I have your three CDs and I have your book, Supernatural Favor. Tell me just a little bit about, and this was under the old covenant, and of course we are under the new and have better promises, but under the old covenant, how did Abraham tap into this favor?
Well, there's several ways, but there's one main key that Abraham had. I should say maybe two keys. The first thing the Bible says concerning Abraham, the Bible says, and Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And Abraham had faith that what God had promised was more real than his current circumstances. Here Abraham was unable to conceive a child. He was unable to have his own lineage. And God comes to him and says, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And Abraham responds accordingly. Abraham says, I believe you, God. And when Abraham does that, it releases the blessing upon his life. And there's someone listening right now, and they're going through a very difficult time. It's actually a minister. And you're going through challenges financially. You're going through challenges in your congregation. And you feel in despair. You feel depressed. And I want to let you know that the word of God, the favor of God, is more powerful than anything you can face in your life right now. And Abraham understood that divine principle. The second thing Abraham understood was intimacy with God. Abraham had a relationship with God. He had a friendship with God. And I tell people all the time, Sid, God favors his friends. If you ever want a seat at the table, if you ever want a box seat, just be friends with God. He'll get you right close to the action. And God favors his friends. And that intimacy with God released supernatural favor over his life, so much so that whenever Abraham went somewhere, whenever he went to a nation, like when he went down to Egypt with Sarah, God began to speak to his enemies on his behalf and tell them to bless Abraham. And we have that available in even greater measure as those that are believers in Yeshua.
And you know what? The Bible talks about the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. And although in the natural, it looks like things are going to get pretty tough in America financially, that's what many prophetic people are saying will be the great wealth transfer. But I have to believe if people don't get themselves in the predetermined spot, in the position that God has for them through having knowledge with favor, they're not going to take advantage of the wealth transfer. It'll go right by them.
Exactly. In fact, there's a key word there. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. And you have to be just. You have to be in right standing with God in order to be a benefactor of God's supernatural favor and provision. In fact, if you go over there to, I believe, Exodus chapter 12, verse 36, what you see is that when the Israelites were coming out of Egypt, the Bible says that God gave the Israelites favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and they gave them great spoil, great amounts of gold and silver and wealth. They literally spoiled the Egyptians. And that represents the transfer from a demonic system, a worldly system, into the kingdom of God. But only those who are in right relationship with God, only those who are trusting the Word, and those who are walking in intimacy with the Holy Spirit, I believe that's a very vital key, only those will be sensitive enough to be led into the blessing and into God's divine provision.
Kenan, many people say, oh, the ones that are on TV or the pastors, they talk about giving, and then they have a captive audience, so to speak, that gives them money, and it doesn't work for a lot of people. But if you weren't a pastor, it wouldn't work for you. If you weren't on television, it wouldn't work for you. How is it working for the average believer in your church?
Well, I just must say, Sid, that is absolutely wrong. It's an excuse. In fact, I had such a negative view of television evangelists for many, many years as a believer. And God had to actually rebuke me because my attitude was wrong, and I was literally repelling away the favor of God.
Oh, and you have so much to teach on that, but we're out of time. But you can see how God has raised him up to teach truth. And I can't think of a more important time in history that you have to understand how you can walk under the blessings of Abraham. So the brand new book, Supernatural Favor, the 3-CD series called Favor Revolution, available for a gift of $35. And wait till you have these confessions and declarations, really, that Kenan will pray over you and you'll pray over yourself and your family. I can't wait for this amazing favor of God to hit your home. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth. That's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.